improve the situation to enhance performance, especially at the level of the defense force, because these three jointly cooperate in the sustainment of our prime mission equipment and the provision of support systems to the SANDF. There is visible change. I can attest to that. We really appreciate what we are in fact seeing. SANDF, without much ado, I will hand over to you, and then you then tell us who in the department will then take us through. I suspect is the Chief of Staff will do that. But for that, I have just recognized that the Deputy Minister has joined the meeting. Good evening, Deputy Minister. All right. Okay, over to
Chairperson,
you.
Chairperson, with your indulgence.
Chair, good evening.
Yes, good evening, DM. Thank
you. Honorable Chair, good evening, and committee members. I'm struggling. I'm connecting through my phone. My phone.
Oh, yes. Yes.
There are connectivity issues, but very much I am in the meeting, Chair. Thank you.
In the meeting. No, thank you very much. You're welcome, DM. Right.
Chairperson?
Yes, Mr. Murray.
If I can just ask the WEN SECDEF and whoever is going to do us a presentation, if they can just maybe confirm the status of this presentation. The last one that we have received this afternoon, 4:48 from Nandipa, when you open it, it says it's a briefing to the study group on the fence. And then if you go through that in the presentation, then the aim of the presentation says to brief the study group on defense. So, to which study group has this then been presented, if the same one is then presented to us as a joint standing committee? I'm not quite sure, you know, why this is on there. And, I just need to know which study group has then been privileged to this presentation before we have seen it. Thank you very much.
Which presentation are you referring to, Mr. Murray?
The one that was sent by Nandipa this afternoon, 4:48 p.m.
No, I think it's in error. It's meant to be a briefing to the...
I just want clarity from the department.
No, just hold on. Is meant to be a briefing to the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. You look at the next slide, Mr. Murray. It refers to the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. But nevertheless, the briefing is to be made to us. Please correct that, SECDEF, and then you may take us through.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Mr. Murray.
Chairperson?
Who's that?
Ryder was first for me.
Oh, Mr. Yeah. Ryder.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. I mean, I just want to check, though. I mean, what legal standing has this? What study group is it? I think it's a fair question. Was this presentation given previously to a different group? What study group? That sounds a little bit irregular to me.
No. I'm saying that they will correct it. When Mr. Murray, so when they brief me ahead of the presentation to this for my input, and each time you see when I've intervened that the report comes to the committee much improved because. In all cases, I know what you have asked us to, what information you ask us to get from the department. So I try to act in the best interest of the committee. That's the reason why I'm saying that they need to change that. So have you changed it and so that you correctly reflect it? Do you still want to make a follow-up, Mr. Murray? So, Mr. Raider?
No, it's just a bit strange that presentations are curated, but I take your comments. I'll leave it at that for now. Thank you.
Yes, no. It's usually for my own preview, colleagues, unless you say I must don't do it. But all the time, I even tell you that I've intervened and have asked the department to improve on it. You'll see this one too. It's also improved from the presentation that was made. They're not eliminating anything that has been given before. Instead, you get more information and they also elaborate on the previous presentation. Yes, Mr. Murray?
Chairperson, if I can just ask you, and it is not that I don't trust you or whatever, but I think it's quite important that we as a committee must know what you are doing. But I think that's something that we have need to discuss, not with the department and the deputy minister with us, so that we just know between us, you know, yes, where do we stand. People can so easily make some assumptions, and then it might sound as if you are basically sanctioning whatever they are allowed to tell us, which we must prevent at all costs.
No, it's fine. No, I accept that, Mr. Mayor. But indeed, I mean, I always indicate when there's been, I've intervened. Even in this one, you see on the improvement. They don't leave out anything that you has been given to you. If anything, they improve on it. But I take your point, and but obviously I will also brief you with the team that I that accompanies me when I take the briefing from the department in previewing the presentation. All right, having done that, SecDef, please, I think SecDef, please take us through.
I had a blackout, so I didn't hear the conversation, and I requested the chief of staff to continue. So, chief of staff, can you continue? Because I had a break.
Please take over.
Chairperson and honorable members, good evening. Let me recognize the presence of the deputy minister and to say good evening to the deputy minister. Chairperson, the SecDef is in the meeting, the acting SecDef. She has already explained she was temporarily suspended because of the laptop challenges. In the meeting, I have with me Mr. Livilo, is the acting chief defense material.
Chief of staff, you must cautiously use the word suspended these days.
Thank you very much, Honorable Barre. Thank you so much. This Mr. Livilo, there is also Major General Jalisi is in the meeting. Major General Nuovo, both of them, the two Major Generals, they are from Chief of Joint Operations. And we are hoping that we are going to be joined by the Chief of Joint Operations from the DRC. That is where he is now. I'm not sure if you will be able to log in. If not, the two major generals will represent him, and the presenter thereof is going to be Major General Ngogo to take us through the employment papers. However, on the first topic, we are going to be taken through by Brigadier General Barents. Is going to be taking us through the presentation. And Chairperson, we are ready to present to you with your permission. We are ready to proceed. If I may call on General Barents to load the presentation. General, please. General Barents, can you hear me? General Barons. Chairperson, I'm not sure if I'm audible.
Yes, you are audible, General. I think you are asking for General Brigadier General Barents. Eh?
Yes, sir.
I don't see him on the platform.
He is.
Unless he's using a different the gadget is.
They have sent a WhatsApp person. They are indicating that they are muted. Can we request that they are unmuted?
Oh, he is General was muted.
Yes, sir, with Peter Livilo, Kopano Peter Livilo.
Okay.
They are unmuted now.
Evening, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Now we can hear you, General.
There we go. Thank you very much. Our apologies. We were unmuted, so we're now able to share the screen. So if you just give me a minute to select the presentation. Can we request somebody to allow us to share the screen, please? Thank you. Honorable Chair, we are still not able to share the screen, so if somebody can just allow us to share the screen, please.
I'm sorry, Chair, you are the co-host.
Enandipa, Which presentation are they going to take us through? I think Maria was correct. There are two presentations that we received this afternoon. The first one was at 1626,
that's the one, sir. One with the two pie charts reflecting the previous as well as the current one. Struggle to log on in terms of the sharing the screen. It does not allow us to share the screen, sir. There we go.
Recording stopped.
Just before you start, let me clear it first with Nandipa. Nandipa, you sent us two presentations, one at 1626 and the second one at 1648. Both of them are meant to be updated presentation. Which one do you, is there? Why you?
The last one, sir.
The last one, sir.
The last one.
Yeah.
Okay, then the last one. Oh, okay. Just let me see which one is the last one. I will see it when you do the presentation.
Recording in progress.
Last one mentioned study group.
No, sir, that's our study group. That was just a mistake. That's why we rescinded the one.
Okay. So I think means that it's sort of still there working draft or something. I don't know.
We're trying to share the screen, but it does not allow us to share the screen, sir.
Right.
Okay, okay.
Can someone at the head office do it for you? So that who else from your section, General, has got the presentation?
Sir, let me log
in. General Motswana is on the other side. We are also in the DSQ. This is Lebelo speaking.
Also, the General Matona might have the presentation.
Yes.
Okay.
Is Saneli available? Saneli's got the latest one that I've sent him, the one with the updates.
Soneli? General Ramazwana, we don't trust you with technology. Eh? HQ, that's when it is in the meeting. All right. Nandipa?
Yes, sir.
Please assist.
Okay.
I'm phoning it one to Saneli again.
Yeah, to Saneli. Sorry. Yeah. You see, my problem with utilizing the secretary is that when he should be taking notes, he runs the presentation presentation together with you. So it interferes with her at that level.
Order to Sonny again, sir.
Yes, Sonny, Sonny, are you in the meeting? Sonny?
Okay, I will send it to the CFO. Okay. I don't have the CFO's number. Sonny,
okay. I don't know what you're pressing. Can you assist? What button must be pressed? Nandipa. So what? Where are you on the screen? I think Chief Defense Material. Where are you on the screen?
I'm here, sir. I'm here.
So are you managing?
Yes, we're managing. We are now going to present from the CFO. We send it to the CFO. CFO is going to operate for us from this
side. The CFO.
In the other office, it's also in the building.
Oh, it's in the office, okay. Yeah. Edem Abonzi, you mean?
Yes, sir. Yes, Edem Abonzi is working on it.
Mr. Abonzi?
Chair, good evening. I'm just waiting for the presentation. Once it gets into my email, I will light it in a few minutes.
All right.
Sorry about all this. Thank you so much.
No, okay. Yeah, the Chief of Staff has tried.
Is it loading?
Chairperson, apologies for this. I have it on the screen, and I am just trying to check if I can move it, and it doesn't want to allow me.
I'm happy for you. That's progress, General.
Okay, the presentation has been sent to the CFO. We're just waiting for him now to confirm and load.
Thank you very much. There's a presentation on the screen.
There it is on the screen.
Hey, maybe they are not connected with us. Can you see the document on the screen, General?
Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can see that.
You can see that.
Yes.
Were you? Okay.
Chair, with regard to this, is a PDF format, so it will upscale some of the data.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So wait for Mr. Abochi to just connect and submit for us and share the screen on our behalf. We apologize for this. We thought that the screen share
no
would
problem.
Be...
Mr. Marais, I can see, I can hear you nodding.
It is PDF and it doesn't move, so I agree that PDF will be a problem. But if there's nothing else, then we have to proceed with that. But at least we can see that.
No.
Chair, I'm ready to share if General Mansana can maybe take it off. Okay, let's try. Is it visible now, Chair?
It is visible. Can you put it in a presentation mode?
Is it visible now, Chair?
Yes, it is. They may go ahead. Thank you very much, Mr. Poons.
Thank you very much, Chair, and hearty welcome to everybody from the Joint Standing Committee on Defence, Minister of Defence, as well as our Deputy Minister of Defence, Secretary for Defence, Chief of the South African National Defence Force, Chiefs of Services and Divisions, as well as our Chief of Staff, and then to all members present from Parliament and ministers present. Hearty good evening. Thank you very much for the indulgence and also for the patience for the presentation to be loaded. We apologize for the inconvenience. So basically, this is the briefing on to the Joint Standing Committee on Defense with regard to the level of satisfaction of the NAL services. So I'm not too sure if the Chief of Staff would like to take us through the introduction, or alternatively, I'll take you through the introduction. Chief of Staff?
Chairperson, I think the chairperson did speak to this to indicate the fact that the first two slides, Chair, this comes from the meeting of the 16th of March 2023, wherein there was a presentation by DINEL, and the crux of that presentation was DINEL's turnaround strategy and its ability to provide life cycle maintenance support for the prime mission equipment of the Department of Defense. And the Joint Standing Committee on that day of the 16th of March did note that there were some disjuncture between the SANDF and the DINEL regarding the ability to maintain and sustain the SANDF's prime mission equipment as required for operational readiness. Thus, the Joint Standing Committee then directed that both the Department of Defense as well as DINEL to ensure that we find some alignment and to report back to the committee in terms of the services that are rendered to us, as well as the level of satisfaction from DINEL to the Department of Defense. What we then did, Chair, thereafter, on the 27th of March, 2023, AMSCO, DINEL, and the Military Command Council did meet. We met and discussed AMSCO's turnaround strategy and operational support which DINEL can provide to the SANDF. And that deliberation of that day was then followed by an MCC visit. We did visit DINEL chairperson and honorable members on both the 3rd as well as the 4th of April 2023. Next slide, please. What we also did, Chair, with the time that we were given by the committee, on the 2nd of May 2023, DINEL met with the Minister of Defense and Military Veterans for a briefing on the state of DINEL and progress that has been made on their turnaround strategy. And over the years, Chair, there has been a symbiotic relationship that has been existing between the South African National Defense Force and DINEL as the original equipment manufacturer. And the prime mission equipment in service with the SANDF, for which DINEL is the original equipment manufacturer, remain largely unserviceable, which impacts severely on the readiness level of the SANDF. The underfunding of the SANDF also does contribute to the situation in which the Defense Force finds itself in. We still continue, Chair, with the issue around Wolf Eister and Gamas that remains key for Dinel's survival. Next presentation, and therefore then, Chairperson, I'll hand over to the General to continue the aim of, in terms of the aim of the briefing, which was derived from the topic that was given to us. General Barents.
Thank you, Chief of Staff. Thank you, Honorable Chair. So the aim of the presentation is to provide you with a brief overview with regard to the levels of satisfaction with services rendered to Dinel and efforts to improve cooperation. Next slide, please. So the scope that we will be dealing with is the operating contract categories, how we got to where we are in terms of the service level satisfaction. And then obviously we'll deal with the summary of the Dinel operating contracts, whereby they're allocated to Dinel, as well as the level of satisfaction, as we've taken the Arms Corps database with regard to the Dinel contracts. And we've basically looked at the criteria and thereby looking at the operating as well as capital technology contracts. And then we will deal with the rollovers, efforts to improve cooperation. We'll conclude and then if there's any questions and open for discussions. Next slide, please. So when we dealt with the levels of satisfaction, we looked at the operating contract categories from a database obtained from Arms Corps. We dealt with the maintenance and repair. We dealt with maintenance and support, spares, other, and general, and we had to categorize those and then look at the levels in terms of red, meaning unsatisfactory, yellow, meaning moderate, and green, meaning satisfied. Continue, please. So the levels of satisfaction, as I've mentioned, green satisfactory. Just one slide back, please. It deals with contracts delivered and paid, meaning that it has been delivered and paid. The contract delivery date from 1 May 2023 and later, meaning that it has not yet come to a conclusion, or they haven't. They have still time to deliver in terms of payments and to deliver on time as per the date and contract. Yellow then meaning moderate, dealing with contract delivery date between the 1st of January 2023 up until the 28th of April 2023, which means that it hasn't been paid and hasn't been delivered. However, there are a grace period of 90 days up until 220 days. Then we have the red unsatisfactory. This is contract that has not been delivered up until 31 December 2022 and thereby indicating a red flag. Continue, please. So when we look at the summary of the Dinel operating contracts and the levels of satisfaction, this is the summary that has been taken from the database that has been sent to all in order to view. We had a slight calculation concern, and that's why we have two pie charts in the presentation. You'll see on the right-hand side, bottom side, we have a previous reported operating pie chart. And then you have the updated operating. So we will focus on the updated operating. We just wanted to indicate to you that there has been a slight change in the pie chart in terms of the satisfactory level. So when we look at maintenance and repair up until general, there is a total of 91 orders. And from this 91 orders, 8 has already been concluded and has been removed from the database. However, some of the data is still available, meaning that there are 83 in total contract that is still active. And from a level satisfaction, we have indicated that the maintenance and repair, we have a total of 15, of which 3 is green, 5 is yellow moderate, and 7 red. We then have maintenance and support. There are a total of 16, of which 12 is green, 3 yellow, and 1 red. Spares, looking at a total of 23, and we have 10 green, 0 yellow, and 13 red. Others, there are 27 contracts in place, 8 of them are green, 6 of them are moderate, and 13 of them are red. Then under general, there is a total of 2 contracts, and 1 is green and 1 is red. If you look at the summary under green or satisfactory, out of the 83, 34 is satisfactory, giving us a percentage of 40.964%. And moderate, 14 out of the 83, giving us a 16.867%. And then looking at the red, we have 35 out of 83, giving us a 42.169% in terms of unsatisfactory. So what we did is, because the yellow or the moderate is not delivered yet and not paid to the full extent, we've added the 16.867 to the 42.169, which then gives us a unsatisfactory of 59.036% here at the bottom of the pie chart on the right-hand side. Can you see the cursor, Jay?
Yes, so it means that we must, for now, for purpose of this presentation, we must disregard the previous reported operating pie chart.
That's correct, sir. We just wanted to illustrate that if you look at the difference of the two between, there is not much difference, but you will be able to see that there has been a slight change in what we have reported previously, sir.
Okay.
Next slide, please.
Chairperson, just before they move on, from that chart, the others in general, what are that? Because if you look in, you see it's 29 out of the 83. That is significant amount. That is other and general. What are we talking about? Maintenance and repair, we understand. Maintenance and support, we understand. Spares, we understand. But then there are a significant that has got no description. What's included in there?
Okay, if I may respond.
Okay, please just keep it in mind that there is a question from Mr. Mare, very valid. You may go ahead.
Okay, sir. Thank you very much.
We'll go ahead with the position and then come back to answer the questions.
Okay, sir. So with regard to other, it is...
Next slide, please.
Right. So basically, this slide provides us with the outstanding percentage of for the DAL entity, meaning the serial number 1 to 8 is the entities. The first serial number deals with Danel Aeronautics. Danel Dynamics is the second serial number. Serial number 3, Danel Land Systems. 4 is Danel Mechatronics. 5 is Danel PMP. And then 6 is Danel Vehicle Systems. 7, Hensoldt Optronics. And then 8 is Rheinmetall Munitions. And if you look at the descriptions on top, it deals with the total value of orders placed, the amount that has paid up until the dates as per contract in the Excel spreadsheets, and the amount that is outstanding, and then the percentages that we've indicated in terms of the percentage. So when you look at serial number 1, the aeronautics, we have a value of 1.9 billion rands worth of orders, of which 1.7 billion has already been paid, and the outstanding amount is 281 million rand, leaving us with a percentage of outstanding of 14.11%. The NAL Dynamics, a 634 million orders has been placed, 557 million has been paid, and the total amount outstanding is 76 million, giving us a 12.14% outstanding. With regard to serial number 3, Danel Land Systems, we have a total order of 179 million and 141 million have been paid, giving us an outstanding amount of 38 million and giving us a percentage of 21.37%. When we look at Danel Mechatronics, serial number 4, we have 19 million worth of orders, of which 15 million has been paid, and 4 million has been is still outstanding, giving us a percentage of 23%. The NAL PMP gives us a 100 million orders placed, of which 24 million has been paid, 76 million is still outstanding, and that gives us a red flag of 75.94% that is outstanding. The NAL Vehicle Systems, 232 million has been ordered, 167 million has been paid, 64 million has been is still outstanding. That's giving us a outstanding percentage of 27.89%. Serial number 7, Hensoldt Optronics, 102 million worth of orders, of which 84 million has been paid, and 18 million is still outstanding, giving us a percentage of 17.52%. Rheinmetall Munitions, 280 million worth of orders, of which 277 million has been paid, giving us an outstanding amount of 3 million and giving us a very low outstanding percentage of 1.18 out of all of them. So the total value of orders is 3.5 billion, of which 2.9 billion has been paid, giving us an outstanding amount of 564 million rand outstanding. Then when we look at the capital and technology activity contracts, we focus on capital acquisitions and project contracts and technology projects contracts that we will now share with you. We use the same level of criteria as in the operating criteria. Continue, please. Next slide, please. So when we look at capital and technology active database, looking from the spreadsheets that was handed out, the totals, you can see that there is a total of 21 capital and technology contracts, of which green, there are 8, 2 moderate and 11 red. Under green, you will see, or satisfactory, you will see 38.10%, under moderate, 9.52%, and under red, 52.38%. And that is just delineated in the pie chart. And what we did is we added the yellow as well as the red in terms of the unsatisfactory level, thus giving us an unsatisfactory level of 61.90% and the satisfactory level of 38.10%. Please continue. So when we look at the capital and technology programs, once again, looking at the entities in the NEL from serial number 1 to 8, we're looking at the NEL Aeronautics of a total value of placing orders of 56 million, of which 11 million has been paid, 45 million is still outstanding, giving us a high risk of 80.30%. The NEL Dynamics, 1.7 billion rands worth of orders, of which 1.1 billion has been paid, outstanding amount of 628 million, giving us a outstanding percentage of 35.27%. The NEL Land Systems, 15.7 billion rands worth of orders, of which 6.9 billion rand has been paid, and thus giving us an outstanding amount of 8.794 billion rand, giving us an outstanding percentage of 55.70%. We're then looking at serial number 4, Overberg Test Range. Total order space is 413 million, of which 366 million has been paid. That's giving us a deficit or outstanding amount of 47 million and giving us an outstanding percentage of 11.38%. The NAL PNP, 16 million rands worth of orders, of which 7.6 million has been paid, giving us an outstanding amount of 9 million, giving us an outstanding percentage of 54.32%. The NAL Vehicle Systems, it's a 2 million rand order, nothing has been paid, and therefore the outstanding amount remains 2 million, giving us an outstanding amount of 100%. Serial number 7, Hensoldt Optronics, 268 million has been ordered, 160 million has been paid, and 107 million of outstanding amount is still due, and giving us a percentage of 40.19%. When we look at Rheinmetall Munitions, it's got total order space is 47 million, paid 7.1 million and outstanding amount of 40.6 million, giving us an outstanding percentage of 84.97, which is also one of the highest. When we look at the total rollover history, as indicated on the left-hand side of the slide, it ranges from financial year 2016-17 up until 2022-2023, meaning the last financial year. As indicated in the white book, that in 2016-2017, a total of 7.551 billion rand was recorded and a revised baseline of 12.1 billion. The orders that was placed was 11.361 and paid 7.523, and thus giving us a rollover of 4.6 billion rand. And so we can continue up until last, so I will focus on the last entity in terms of financial year 2022-2023, meaning that we have an 8.193 billion rands of overall for the financial year, the last financial year. Can I please continue to the next slide? So after all that, we have then, as the Chief of Staff has indicated in the introduction, we then had to go and look at efforts to improve the cooperation. So basically what we've done is that we had a DoD Arms Corps Denial Steering Committee that was established, and it's operational to monitor the progress in terms of what we presented. And the chairperson of this is the Arms Corps Board of Directors chairperson. We then further took it further in terms of the DoD, and Arms Corps are part of the monthly monitoring reporting. I believe the next one is on scheduled for this month, and the meeting which will then be dealt with now, and thereby providing feedback on the report on all matters to DPE and National Treasury, and that coordinating meeting will be chaired by the DPE himself. May I please continue? Please continue. Next slide, please. Mr. Abotsi, next slide, please. So in conclusion, Chair, and to the Joint Standing Committee on Defense, the NAL is a strategic asset of the state for all intents and purposes. The survival of the NAL is important for purpose of national security, ensuring a sovereign state. If the NAL's performance may not drastically improve soonest, the impact of the new NAL turnaround strategy is not yet felt in the readiness levels of the DoD's prime mission equipment. The country can no longer afford to lose the remainder of the skill sets vested within the employees of the NAL. Employees with scarce skills that form part of the manufacturing of arms for the South African National Defence Force should as far as possible be retained. I submit, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much. Okay, let's do this. Just bring back the presentation, Mr. Aponzi. Okay. Right, because questions would arise from the presentation. Again, in the presentation mode, Mr. Aponzi. Okay, just go back to the slide that, the first slide that Mr. Mare had the question on. Okay, colleagues, I thought I should have the slides on so that we, for ease of reference. Mr. Mare, you were on the slide. You may talk on other slides as well, sorry.
Thank you very much, Chair. Obviously, what I just wanted to know is what others and general means. Because if you follow, you know, the slides, I suppose, and maybe this is for clarity at this stage, that one just understand what are we talking about. So this slide, that give us the two pie charts. The next one, is that a reflection?
Sorry, go to the next slide. Sorry. Go, just wait for him until it goes to the next slide.
Yeah, so that this one. Is this one a reflection of what was in the previous charts? So these are the actual figures. The previous one obviously gives colors and gives percentages. If one, for instance, look at this one, then there are certain of these groups, this series of 1 to 8, some of them we know will fall into maintenance repairs, some of them maintenance and support. So I want to merge the previous one, the information, with this information to also understand where is the problem, and then what is others and general, where does that fit in, which companies of Denel is implied in there. For instance, I would like to know Denel Dynamics. For all intents and purposes, Denel Dynamics, nothing is going on there, but it seems like there are still contracts. Are there still work going on there? I have heard that there's basically nobody left at Denel Dynamics, but certainly we are paying them money. You know, things like that. Henthold and Rheinmetall, we know, is actually subsidiaries of the Nel. So they're actually foreign owned companies, and not the Nel has only got a share in them. And I just want to understand, for us to get to grips with the challenges that we have got. Let's have them deal with those questions.
Mr. Mare, let's have them deal with those first two, because they are fundamental, before I invite you to deal with the rest.
Thank you, Chair. So if we go back to the first question in terms of others and in general, if I may just be as bold to say that those are very sensitive information with regard to others. It deals with ammunition, the quantity, as well as with regard to the high level in terms of, so it's not for public consumption, but we are willing to share that information. But it will have to be done in a very confidential manner in order to deal with this. As you know, that we are dealing with quantities as well as values, and we are dealing with contracts, and those contracts are managed by ARMSCO itself. With regard to the second question, with regard to the reflection and with regard to the previous slide, yes, it is. It is a link. Hence, I've indicated that the... Sorry, Mr. Bosi, just go back one. If you can click on the little, that one there to open the slide, if it does open, we hope it opens. Otherwise, you'll have to open the Excel spreadsheet. In the Excel spreadsheet, if you have it available in front of you, it is basically, this is the summary in terms of what the contract has been contracted by the NEL. And if you go through the database, you will see that each of these entities has got each its own level of levels of satisfaction, and it will indicate to you where there is maintenance and support, maintenance and repairs, spares, other, meaning ammunition and weapon systems, and then general is those ones we could not classify in terms of linking with packaging, palletizing of ammunition. So that is services being rendered. So we could not classify it as maintenance and support. We classified it under general. I hope that gives clarity in terms of others as well as under general. But if you look at the Excel spreadsheets that we have submitted, you will see if you go through the workbook, it will give
maybe
you all...
Cite an example. Let's go. Which one do? Let's go to Denel Aeronautics spreadsheet. It's, the total value is 1.9 billion rand. Can you click on that one, Mr. Bonsi?
Mr. Bonsi, if you can open the operating Excel spreadsheet, it will give you a little. Then we can go through it.
Sorry, Chan. Unfortunately, I don't have those spreadsheets.
Oh, okay. Mr. Mare, you've got it. Can you do it on your side?
I'll have a look at that.
On this side as well.
But I just wanted to understand this one. The previous one says it's a summary of the NEL. That's only the operating contracts, right?
That's it.
So there's a difference between operating contracts and obviously the ones where you are talking about the capital and the technology. So in terms of operating, the way that I understand operating is basically, you know, the operating to do your business, to run your business. And that links to chairperson, what we have talked about yesterday and what we talked about at aeronautics is to what extent is this the obligations that we've got to the NEL to make sure that they can operate, because the real confidentiality, as I understand it, is not with operating costs, others and general. It's actually with capital and technology contracts, because the big money is with capital and technology. This is actually small money if you compare the two so that's not the total of the NEL. That's only the operating side, and one need to understand that. Why are we paying for them operating contracts? Why do we have operating contracts with all of those companies if we order products from them? So why have we got this individual obligations to pay them operating money. I mean, they should fund that from their own business money that they generate.
Can you deal with that? You'll recall that that has been my pet subject as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, can you deal with
exactly
that?
Exactly. And here, Chairperson, we see it now in black and white. Obligations that we have got per implication, as I read it, to 8 different companies that we have got obligations to make sure that they can operate. And the next one is actually the big one where we're actually buying products. And it should be part of that. It should not be separate.
Can you explain that, colleagues?
Okay, sir, with regard to, I will hand over to Mr. Lebello as the Acting Chief Defence Material to provide answers with regard to Mr. Murray's questions.
Let me explain the operating and the capital. It is defined from our own perspective as the department. It is our operation funding, the funding that we use to buy spares and for maintenance and support, to support us. So it's not operation for Danel. So the term must not be wrongly interpreted that way. So it's operation, maintenance, and then and support and spares and all those that are directly for us. So as the contracts are lined up, so it's every contract for, say, support, say, for the anything that we get as a contract.
So, Mr. Lebello, so let's look at Danel, serial number one. It's the total value is 1.9 billion rand. Paid is 1.7. Outstanding is 281 million. Okay, that gives us 14.11% outstanding amount. Now, so this is what is the contracting period of this 1.9 billion rand? And is this the contract value? And is this 1.9 for that contracting for that contract period? What is the situation?
Sorry, sir, can we just go one, Mr. Murray, can you just move one
to the left,
please?
To the left on the spreadsheet.
And open that one, sir.
Yes.
Thank you.
There it is there.
So that basically gives you an understanding of the contract order number, the categories in terms of the maintenance and support, space, M&R, and there you can see the order dates and that was placed, and then the planned delivery dates as indicated. Hence, the color coding was as explained with regard to the criteria, using green, meaning that it has been delivered. As you can see in serial number one under the Danel Aeronautics, under KT47118, it was maintenance and support. The contract started in 2019. It ended up in 2023, and it's still valid up until September. Hence, that there are still outstanding amounts of 78 million, giving us an indicating that it's still outstanding. But it's green because the contract only expires in September 2019. And so it will continue with all of the contracts as indicated in the order number.
But how does this relate? Sorry, General, how does this relate to what we saw when we visited Danel, that so many of our aircraft are standing there when they should be gracing the skies? And when we're asked why they are here, they are saying, well, look, they are here because there are no spares. They even take us to a section where they have aircrafts that have been stripped beyond imagination. So now, how does this relate to the three contracts that Danel has with AMSCO in relation to the aircrafts? I don't know. How do I understand this? The serial 1229 in relation to Danel Aeronautics vis-a-vis our aircraft that are with them.
Okay, sir.
And chair with that. Remember, this is only the operating. So for us, I want to see how much are we buying from them, and then you can divide that costing into an operating portion and in capital, or what you're actually buying and actually getting. And now we're only looking at the operating side, which even if we pay that, even if it's part of how we break down the costing, but there must still be a direct correlation between operating, payment of operating, because why would we pay more operating proportionally than what we get from the capital and the technology? I do not understand that, because it might imply that we're actually financing them for their salaries, but in the meantime, they do not deliver for that operating money that we spent. And because they do not deliver on the capital, we don't pay them for the capital. But in the meantime, we pay them for operating. I find that incredibly difficult to understand from an ordinary business perspective.
Mr. Lebrello?
Okay. So with regard to the operating, as we've indicated, this is the services requirements in terms of the GDA funding that they receive in order to ensure that the prime mission equipment or spares or consumables are procured during the financial year in order to maintain the prime mission equipment. If we look at how much we are paying for and buying for, this is basically from the GEA, and rightly said by Mr. Marais, there are two. The one is operating cost by the services, and the other one is the capital and technology, which we already presented the service in terms of the projects. So those are projects and acquisitions. And we are not paying for salary. We are paying for services that is supposed to be rendered, hence the color coding that will tell you the dissatisfaction in terms of those service and contract that either has lapsed and hasn't been taken forward. Main question that we might want to say is that if you look at the planned delivery dates in this Excel spreadsheet, if you focus on the red ones, it will tell you the dates and delivery. So obviously if something has lapsed already and hasn't continued, meaning that the outstanding amount of space that had to be procured could not be procured because of the NELS force majeure situation during that time. Hence that we are sitting with a situation that the NEL has been, has not been able to deliver on the commitments. Hence the payments did not reflect, and that's why you still have a huge outstanding amount in certain of these contracts, as indicated in the previous slides, pertaining with regard to the levels of dissatisfaction. And this is what the presentation is all about, is to highlight the dissatisfaction levels of the DoD in terms of getting our prime mission equipment within the GDA in the operating cost serviceable. And that's the challenge that we have with the NEL. We all know that the NEL has got a force majeure situation, and they are trying their utmost best to come back online in order to provide us with the services. And obviously, as indicated, that funding is required. And this funding that you see here is not in their possession. These fundings are outstanding amounts that is due to the NEL once they have delivered the service. That is my remarks with regard to how we can merge. And obviously, we are not paying for salaries. We are paying for labor in terms of services within it, in terms of what they are supposed to do in terms of to sustain and support our services can, and defense.
Yeah. Just so one can call it tomato or tomato. Eventually, it pays salaries, and that's what we are paying them.
Well, look, I hear what your argument, Mr. Marais, but how does this correlate with what we saw? You see, we are not denying aeronautics. We went to denial aeronautics. We only saw red. From the first aircraft we saw, and I can give head right up to where we were shown the scrapyard, where they all the aircrafts that have been stripped beyond imagination.
Exactly.
It's red. But I can hear it's all green, except the two areas.
Yeah, exactly. And even, Chairperson, you will recall that they even told us, they told us that, the helicopters are standing, we do not have spares, we have got a problem with the GDA that do not allow us to order the parts or let it be manufactured, because it takes 18 months or even longer. And because of the situation of the GDA, they cannot even order spares before May or June of each year, and then they know they cannot spend the money, so it gets drawn over. Yeah, it seems all things fantastic how we pay them. Yes, this is a fantastic arrangement. It doesn't make sense.
Can you explain that, Mr. Lebello?
Yes, may I come in, sir? Thank you very much for allowing us this opportunity once again. I think we must understand clearly what we mean by first operating and also the capital. Operating is for sustainment of the defense operations, and it is not for the company to be operating. It is for us, and every amount that is out there, if it's paid, it is because of the Arms Corps contract periods where something was delivered. You may see incomplete systems, but a system of the nature of the aircraft has got a lot of subsystems. So if we have paid for a subsystem and are waiting for another, the aircraft will not fly because everything must work together. So, and then all of them have got different timescales to deliver to make the whole functional system. If we have to think system-wise, then we can see everything, all the dots then are together for a system to start running. But it cannot run without everything being bought. And not everything can be done all at the same time because they have subcontractors that are delivering certain things. And every cent that is out there, it is because there was a relationship between Arms Corps and Danel, and there was what we call a K25, which is a payment process which is done by our Arms Corps quality assurance that they are happy. Only when they are happy, then they pay. What we should be worrying about is the ones that Danel has not yet executed and it's red, because then they have delayed and the system cannot be operational. Then we cannot operate as a defense force because we haven't got a complete system.
So in this sense, you are saying that as far as you are concerned, you have derived value for money.
Not completely, sir. Value for money for what we have paid for. For what we have paid for. But this vehicle, we have got the engine. The engine cannot run on its own without the body being there. We don't have the tires because the tire company is delayed. We don't have some of the systems, subsystems in there. So what we need is to make sure that Danel delivers everything. The final product must be delivered in time so that we can say, now we can finally merge everything. But we cannot say, like it works when you go to a shop, right, to say we want a complete product, because these are specialized items. And then not everybody produces those things. So Danel comes in as a specialized and depend on what the industry that supports them has to do to complete the system. And we plan for that. There's project management that says item one is delivered, we tick. Item two, then we say in so much time, everything should be working together. Then we go and test and look at functionality. Then they can say final delivery. Even that final delivery has got its own milestone payment that is determined by us and Arms Corps, and then we will pay and say, now it's working, the car starts, but it's not moving from outside, or the aircraft can start, but it's not flying. And when it flies, it's the final milestone that says, this is the final deliverables and handover. On most of the system, we are not yet there on the handover of those products.
In fact, like the chair has said, when we visited aeronautics, nothing was even able to start. There were aircraft that was already there for 4 years. So if you look at there's 13 Oryx helicopters there. There are four or five Rafale there for 4 years already. And that, in our opinion, if you make payments over the period, Then obviously what the chairperson was asking for value for money is, if you make that part payment, how do you make sure that you will eventually get the final product? If you can't fly that, it means nothing. then it means that you have wasted money. You have not got anything in your hands or in the air. You cannot go to war and say, listen, only two of the tires can work, so we make war with two tires. If you do not have all of them, you can do nothing. So our problem is, and my concern is, there's been a lot of payments been done to Danel, to the different divisions of Danel. But we sit with under-resourced a defense force. You, Chief of Staff, you guys have reported to us many a times in how big problems we are with aircraft, with landward, with all of these. And now you're telling us this is wonderful, this is value for money.
Okay.
Last week we were reported to us that we've moved backwards from milestone one in defense review to milestone zero.
If not negative one, Mr. Mutle?
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and good evening. On the subject matter and seemingly there's a misunderstanding for a lack of a better word in terms of how the team from the department understands and how we understand. But I just want to bring another angle that we picked up when we visited Dinel in terms of spare parts, how they are used, and how progress has been delayed, as Mr. Lebello has indicated that these are systems that they need to work together to give us a final product before, for an example, an aircraft can fly. But there's another element, and I'm not sure whether they'll be able to explain as to how are they keeping records as and when that make regression on the platforms that are grounded. There's a term, Chair, that they use. I don't know whether they call it on service demand or something like that. It's a process where platforms that are in a mission or platforms that are operational, as and when they need certain parts, or they go to the very same platform that are grounded and take those parts, so that those ones that are operational continues to be operational. How are they recording those out of the resources that they are making available in that regard?
So the question is, of the allocation that we have seen, 1.9 billion rand, what is for fixed cost and what is for on-demand services? Was that the question, Mr. Marek? Was that the question, Thabo?
I'm not sure about the wording, but whether it's on demand or what do we call it, but it can fall under on demand, but I'm seeing the process that they apply out of the resources that are made available to ensure that the platforms are back flying, and that process has been interrupted by those that are in operation by going and is it cannibalizing? Not necessarily
that's cannibalizing, yes.
Yes. On cannibalizing, most importantly, on systems that are in a workshop with an intention of finalizing them so that they go back to operational.
For example, they would say, General, that you see, they would be working on an aircraft. and thinking that they are 90% through. But when the spares from that aircraft, when the spares are needed, and they can only harvest them from the same aircraft that they're working on, okay, that would actually set them backward. If they were 90%, they would go back to below 90%, because they have to cannibalize parts from the same aircraft that they're working on to keep the one in service in the air. That's what Honorable Mutle is actually saying.
What happens, let's start, we agree with what it is said about cannibalization, which means that where we do not have enough space, because some of the systems or aircraft are old, so we have to wait too long to get spares from the other original manufacturers. But at that time, we may have a need for an aircraft to fly. So we have to use what we have as is functional to put on the aircraft. Let's say out of eight, we want one or two that is operational. So Danel is the one that operates in this space to say, from what we have, we can take this part from this and make sure that we apply it on this. And also to add on the question that was asked on the on-demand spares. On-demand spares are those that we acquire and are used as in when required. It's not something that is contracted for a longer period of time for continuous supply, but only on demand as in when we require them to be utilized. So we are answering this, but it is because we are concerned as well as the Department of Defense, because the funds that is allocated to us is the one that is used. That is why on the first week of April, MCC had to go to Danel and see for themselves. And there's other visits that are scheduled to go and also see and evaluate. But this talk is mainly between Armed Corps and Danel. We just don't want to leave it to them and say it is the defense money, but we can't account for it. We cannot just wait for hearsay. The highest level of the defense force had to go and see for themselves and evaluate that, exactly that which Mr. Marek talking about, to say, oh, when are you going to get this functional? When are we going to get these aircraft in the air? How many can we get? What is it that is outstanding? Danel may not have some time, enough money to pay their suppliers. So we say, what model can we use? And with AMSCO would say, maybe we should pay the subcontractors directly so that they can deliver to Danel and Danel to finish the whole product. And then we are also in the know, so we're not ignorant to the process, so that we can also be the beneficiaries and be able to help the Chief of Defense Force deploy his systems when he's tasked to do that. And he cannot do it without knowing exactly what is available and when is which aircraft, which system is going to be available for use. And we have our colleague from Joint Operations who also would add and tell you they want from the services systems that are ready to be used. And the services must make sure that they follow AMSCO, they follow Danel, they see for themselves. And with the limited resources that they have, we did have some successes, but it's not 100%. As you see, it's below 50% that we say we are happy with Danel. So we cannot really be pleasant and say we are happy with where Danel is right now. We're looking forward to them improving. Hence, we are also part of their monthly Danel monitoring process to see how they use the funds that they are getting to make sure that whatever funds that is allocated for a system, that money is reinforced for that system. It's not used for anything else, but it's reinforced for that system. That system is acquired, it's repaired, it's ready for delivery to a bigger system. And then at the end of the day, our dates for the final delivery of the full system is not delayed.
But Mr. Lepelo, I will come back to Mr. Mare. You see, we understand where your level of satisfaction is below 50% generally. But on the aircraft, it appears to be very high. is our reading incorrect? And then two, when we got there, they're actually saying that because we are not, they are not placing orders for spares, and that they have to cannibalize. It basically takes them more hours to do the job, because even before they fix they replace the part, they still have to. If it takes 10 hours to replace the part in the aircraft that is they are working on, they still have to add 5 hours that it will take them to remove the parts from another aircraft. In other words, for the work that would ordinarily take 10 hours to do, if they've received the part that they bought and replace it or put it in the aircraft, you know, it takes them 15 hours. Around 15 hours, because there is 5 hours that they use to harvest the part from the another aircraft. So now, what it therefore says to us is that sometimes the method that they are actually applying has a lot of inefficiencies that end up costing the department a lot of money, because the emphasis is on harvesting as opposed to buying new parts, because buying new parts, you spend less hours than when they are actually harvesting, cannibalizing, or harvesting parts from another aircraft. Mr. Mare?
Chairperson, if I can just use how I read it, I take this two groups together. I look at the Danel Aeronautics, for instance, and then I say, in Danel Aeronautics, there are two components. The one is the operating, which is at 1.9 billion rand, and the other one is the capital, and that's that 56, 57 billion rand. Now, if you compare the two, just that example, on the operating side, only 14% is outstanding, but the next one is actually the product that we need, or the outcome that we need. 80% is outstanding. That 80%, I interpret, that is the delivery of the final product. In other words, that indicates to us there's a major problem on the capital side for what we are paying, because and it means that we have, it seems like we have paid more proportionally for operating than for capital. Now, we know what we have seen. The realities, we know what is the realities currently. There are two Red Fox serviceable, only two of the about 11 that we have got. Of the Oryx, there are only 6 serviceable of the 36, 37 that we have got. The majority of all those aircraft are at Danel, and the Danel is the OEM. We have got one C-130. Now, it is not a situation that it is only now in a small portion or a 1 month of a year. This has been the case for a number of years. It comes from the previous parliament that Danel has got this problem. So then you try to look and see, what are we interested in? We are interested to have prime mission equipment serviceable in the air or in the water or on the battlefield. And if they are not there, we cannot protect South Africa. And in terms of the money that we pay, obviously National Treasury look at this side, this way, and see what is the value of money that we get. I take, for instance, Danel Dynamics. Danel Dynamics, it seems like we have paid an enormous lot of money, but when you talk to the Danel Dynamics people and other interesting, then you hear that everybody of them is basically in Saudi Arabia and in the UAE. I mean, where are we with the Mkhonto? You will recall when we visited the Danel Dynamics at Waterkloof Air Force Base, they showed us that Mkhonto and the other missiles, and then they told us that, you know, this is things that we can do, but they don't do it. If you look at the Danel Dynamics here, we are funding an enormous lot of Danel Dynamics. For what? What do they deliver? And that is the problem that we must be put into a situation where we must convince National Treasury to give us more money so we can buy this. The one remark that was given tonight, and that is a bit of a concern that I need clarity on. The Minister of Defence is on record where she has said if the NEL cannot provide, she is busy talking with the South African defence industry companies. And right at the end of the presentation, it was said that to protect our sovereignty, we must use the NEL. Is the NEL so important that we cannot use the defense industry companies to perform these deals? And that is a question I think that I asked the other day as well in our presentation. To what extent are we prepared to pay more just to keep the NEL and not support the defense industry companies? Because I'm not sure that we get value for money.
May I try to respond?
Look, maybe we should move forward. Look, Danel is the OEM for our major platforms, especially when it comes to aerotronics. It's what you call Royfag, Oryx.
And Landward as well, yeah.
See one did. Exactly, when it comes to Landward as well, they are our OEM. So we can't walk away from them. They have a skill set that we need to maintain in order to keep our capability in order. So the question always is whether the manner in which we are funding Danel, is it an appropriate one? Shouldn't we be considering setting aside money and say this money is for Danel to maintain the skill set, so that we can then separate it from the money that is set aside for spares and then other maintenance? Right. Now everything is together, because as we contract with them, we also pay to maintain them as well, you know, pay for their fixed costs. That's where the debate is. When we should actually be giving them the money for fixed cost upfront. We know in the budget that this is money that is destined for Danel, and then hold Danel accountable on the money that we've actually allocated them. Have you spent the money on the things that you were supposed to spend it on? As separate from the discussion we're actually having right now. Because they have conflated the two aspects, they give us a situation where we can't see what is for fixed, and we can't see what is for fixed, because it's like a retainer of some kind, that they provide service. In other words, they must be available when we need them. That's the reason why we maintain them. But what's the use having them when we cannot get when we don't have money to buy spares to keep them engaged? Because we don't have money to buy spares to keep them engaged, we then encourage them to go and cannibalize. When they cannibalize, add more hours on their work and end up taking a lot more time and possibly charging us even more. Because we have actually conflated the two issues. I always ask this question: is it the best way of funding, of supporting Danel, the one that is proposed, that is being applied by AMSCO and DOD? That's the major question that we need to untangle going forward. Maybe we should leave it at that, because I can see that until we've gotten to that point, this matter will remain like this forever. Thabo, your hand is still up. Honorable Motle?
If I'm allowed, just explain the obsolescence.
Okay, that's fine.
Just that one.
Okay.
It, Obsolescence is when the equipment is so old that we can't find space. That is then the reason that we cannibalize. They don't cannibalize for the purposes of replacing a space that they can acquire somewhere. For the space that we can acquire elsewhere, the company must wait and get those ones. They only cannibalize when they know that this spec is no longer available. The company that made it does not produce it anymore. So it will not be any reason to wait for something that will never come. That is the only reason that I think.
Lebello, that's not the information we got from the people on the ground.
No, absolutely. I agree with you, Jay. That's not the information that we got.
Information, but what we got there when we were in Pinel, they didn't tell us that. They even say to us, because they can't wait, they must keep the aircraft in the sky, in service.
Exactly.
And there's a part they need that they can find, even in the aircraft that they're working on. They said there were three aircraft that they were working on that they wanted
to
prioritize. But because in some cases you come back asking for space that they can be harvested from the same aircraft, they give you and that set them back. If they had wanted the aircraft to go out, but because of the fact that some spares have now been removed, they must still keep it until they get the spare that has been, replace the spare that has been harvested from the aircraft. There's a section where they placed all the aircraft that they've harvested close to almost nothing. There was a question there, why are you still keeping this aircraft in the balance sheet? They said, no, we're keeping them in the balance sheet because we're hopeful that at some point we'll get the spares and then bring them back in service. And they did indicate, Mr. Lebello, that because they're not in manufacture, they are so old, these aircraft are so old, that's the reason why it takes them the lead time of between 12 to 36 months. Because if the spares are still in, the aircraft are still in manufacture, they're still being manufactured, it means that the spares are still available and they can be delivered within the shortest period of time. But those that are so old and the spares are no longer being produced, they must then wait for a longer period. That's how it was explained to us.
Yes. Chairperson, if I can just support you in that one. Remember, they explained to us how the pool works. And if you belong to this global pool for certain spares, then you have got a shorter period. But because we don't belong anymore to that pool, we have to come stand last in the line. And then and that is not only very old items, that is also any item that we need from that pool. And if we sometimes have to wait 18 months, and because it is 18 months and it is funded from the GDA and not from the SDA, it means that they must do that within a specific financial year. And because they know that they cannot do it in a financial year, then they don't do it. And then they start to cannibalize. So it's not old stuff and outdated stuff. Your information is wrong. And the chairperson is 100% correct in that regard. And those are the things that we need to deal with and bring together. And it seems like currently there are too many versions of the same problem. And as long as you're quite right, Chair, if we don't get to the point where we all are on the same page of what the problem is and where the problem is, then it's going to be incredibly difficult. In the meantime, we pay operating costs to Danel, but they don't even report to us. We don't have oversight over that money. And that's billions of rands that are paid to Danel for operating side. Irrespective of how they do their costings, I know that Danel is of strategic importance, and I know that many of those divisions have got the potential to be viable. Danel Dynamics is of highly strategic importance, but can Danel Dynamics still deliver us the product that we need to put on the rainfall or to put on the Gripens? Highly unlikely. Highly unlikely. And that is putting us in a predicament. And if we don't bring this together, we've got a major problem. And I don't think we are dealing with the right things here. Bit of a concern.
Okay, so you can see that we are operating on, we're not reading from the same handbook. What we get from here is not what we got from them. And so until you have the same facts before you, both yourself as a client as well as the as Dinel stroke AMSCO, this kind of challenges will keep coming up, because we actually don't know what is it that is a problem, why we have so many not in the sky but in the Dinel's workshop. I mean, they even tell us that they don't have their stock levels is almost dried up.
Yeah.
They put nothing in their stores. You know, so hence they have to cannibalize. Is it so, Mr. Lebello? I'm sorry, your information is wrong. I think you must accept it is wrong. And the two, I think you must devise a model that will assist us to monitor the allocations that we give to Dinel. Because as we know, I said previously that Dinel for 5 years has not have a credible financial statements. For 5 years, the 3 years of these 5 years, they received disclaimers. First year, second year, third year, AG said, I'm washing off my hands on these guys. And the last 2 years, they still have their financial statements for the last 2 years are undergoing audit as we speak. They will only become available in July. I can tell by my last cent, they will also become disclaimers. But we still pour money into Dinel. I'm not quite certain if we are able to ascertain that we are getting value for money, and in fact we get a rent value for every rent that we spend on Dinel. Sitting where I am, I can't tell you, because of this level of funding that this model that we are using to support Dinel. You know, we conflate it with the allocation that is meant to prop up to buy spares and service our aircraft. Yes, we need Dinel, but is this the right way and the appropriate way to fund Dinel? That's a question that you need to answer. But not for today, Chief. Maybe when you discuss it with your team, we'll hear from you, because it's clear that there's you see, the situation, I mean, we've spent so much money. If you look at the aircraft, I mean, in last year, they said we had 17 Oryx were serviceable. Today, only how many? Six are serviceable.
Six.
From 17 in a space of about a year. So in other words, the situation is deteriorating. You know, and so that's the situation we're trying to present to you. That if you don't buy it, I can tell you next year we'll have no single Oryx in the air, we'll have not a single Royfak in the air. We'll have not a single C-30 in service. When I say in the air, 130 serviceable, not a single Oryx serviceable. If you look at the rate at which we are, the situation is deteriorating. But we still are saying there's value for money. I mean, okay. Maybe let's move.
Would agree with you.
We've debated the issue, Mr. Lebello. I'm sure the General Ramatwane may want to close on this discussion, and then we move forward.
Thank you, Chair.
Unless Mr. Lebello, you still want to say a few words before the General close the discussion.
No, sir. I do accept that there is that element of cannibalizing because of the requirements for operational requirements that the NEL must support us on. And at that time, there may not be aircraft ready, so they must get to cannibalize so that they can get at least one aircraft on the air. And yes, you are right, and Mr. Murray is right. It's not only obsolescence, so there's other elements.
I'm going to request the chief of staff to then close the decision for us for the decision.
Just before they close, Mr. Lebello and the general, when you refer to rollovers, why are you having rollovers when you still when you say you don't have the money? I mean, you on slide 14. 2023. You are rolling over 8.1 million rand. Is it the money that is being surrendered back to Treasury? What do you mean by this rollover? 2021-2022 is 8.2 million. And I'm asking this question because we need every single cent of this money to be applied to our aircraft.
Yes, rollovers is because of the nature of the defense is operating that you find some equipment are not delivered immediately. They are delivered in 1 or 2 years. So it is, the fund is still there, but delivery is not yet done. And it will be committed when the product is delivered. So we are monitoring so that we don't pay for what we don't receive. That is why the fund
is for multi-year projects.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
No, it's that the point is taken. And then
Chief of Staff is not closing. I would say thank you very much for all the engaging questions. We appreciate this support. I think the direction that we get from this committee is very valuable to us as a defense, and we learn every day. There's always new questions that are coming, and we'll engage directly with Danel and also AMSCO. I know Danel said they are going to connect to listen for themselves what we have to get through to make sure that there is funding for them. And I also still say we do not pay for what we are not receiving. There is no maintenance of Danel. We're paying for services delivered and products that are delivered to the defense. If it is not delivered, it is not paid. We do not pay for just maintaining Danel. We don't pay their overheads. We don't pay their fixed costs. We're paying for a product or a service that is delivered. And hence I mention again that AMSCO's document called the K225. They are very, very strict on that. It is a quality assurance measure of saying, are we happy? If we are happy, we sign it. And then from there, only then money can be proceeded. But just that, as I said, the product delivered may just be a subsystem of the major system. So to put it all together, it may take a bit of time to see this adds to having an aircraft in the air. So thank you very much once again for all this engagement. We will keep you informed in other forums if there's any need there. And we are always available to answer on any questions.
Thank you very much, Mr. Marre.
Chairperson, just the last word of mine. We might come over very hard and very harsh, but the general mustn't take this personally. He can see that our passion. That we require. So we will be passionate about this. And we want a stronger defense force. So this is not a reflection on you. So do not take this personally. But this is a reflection of how strong we feel about the defense force and the future of it and how we want to see.
Yes, thank you very much. Is General Ramatone back?
You are struggling to connect, but...
That's the reason why you're making the closing remarks on the part of the defense. Okay. No, thank you very much, Chief. You are right. Our concern has been that we have so many of our aircraft not in the air, and the WOF SDR is not running, yet we spend so much on it. We've been asking ourselves, what is the problem? And I'm sure you've also been concerned as well. So now in this meeting is trying to assist to find a way out. But we're happy that there is now a closer cooperation working together between yourself, Danel, and AMSCO. Start to drill into some of these issues. Now we are grateful to that general. Please don't take it as a personal, and we are not trying to be hard on anybody, but we are concerned about the situation we are seeing on the ground. Thank you so much. General Ramazana?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I need to apologize. I have been disadvantaged from taking part in the discussion throughout, and I could hear the snippets here and there. But, Chair, I need to say I'll consult with my colleagues, and we take what you have said in your conclusion, Chair. And my apology once again. It's now that I'm lucky. I sort of got the gist of what was going on, but I won't go into the discussion now. And I would want to say that our colleagues from Joint Ops are ready. They are on standby, Chair, to do the presentation on the presidential minutes with regards to ESCOM. And through the permission of the SecDef, may I, and through you, Chair, that if you can allow them to start loading and to start the presentation. Thank you.
Okay. DM, will take you after the presentation by the Chief of Joint Operation.
Sir, can we ask for us to be taken out of the, to be muted? Otherwise, we will still be connected. We can't unmute ourselves so that we can allow the other presentation.
Okay. All right. Please, there's a request. Thank you very much, Mr. Nebelo. Over to you, Chief Jones.
Good evening, Chair, and good evening to the honourable members of the committee. Firstly, allow me to greet the Deputy Minister of Defence and Military Veterans and all the members of the DOD, the SecDef, and the Chief Staff, and other members. Chair, we have the presentation flagged now. Yes, before we proceed, I wish to tender the apology that the presentation was not shared. But basically, as you know, the issue of the employment papers does not necessarily need a presentation. I felt that it becomes much easier if I use it, and much clearer. And additionally, I was constrained by time. I got the message late last night, and I'm not at the office. I'm out in the field since last week, but we're able to manage to this afternoon to develop the presentation, which is very short, five slides in general. Chair, I'll request to afford the opportunity for Major General Chalisi to do the presentation, and purely for the purpose of he's a new member in the Joint Operations Division, and I felt that it will be good that he given this opportunity, so that when I'm unavailable, other members can be able to present to the committee credible. So, Chair, General Chalisi, can you proceed? I believe Nandipa is going to run the presentations. General Chalisi?
Thank you very much, General. Good evening to the chairperson of the committee, the members of honourable members of the committee, Deputy Minister of Defence, and our Chief of Staff, Chief Joint Operations, and the rest of the colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity to to present on behalf of Chief Joint Operations. As you can see, the first slide indicates that it's a briefing to the committee this evening. Next slide, please. Am I audible?
Yes, you are. We're waiting for the slides to be moved.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair General. My apologies. Can someone, who's operating the slide? Is yourself, Nandipa?
Yes, Chair. Hasn't it moved any slide?
No, no, no. Just go up and enable editing up there.
Yeah. And put it on the slideshow if possible, please.
You disappears.
I can't see the slides now, Chair.
No, it's coming back.
As Chief Joint Operations indicated, this is a very short presentation. It's about six slides, and I'm just going to fly through them. And then through Joint Operations, I think, Chair, you will then allow the questions if there will be any for clarity. The aim is to present to the Joint Standing Committee on Defense and Military Veterans the Presidential Authority for the extension of the employment of PROSPER in at ESCOM power stations, which I will indicate how many that we have actually deployed to. Next slide, please. The President has authorized the extension of the employment of the SANDF for service in cooperation with the SAPS for the prevention and of crime and maintenance and the preservation of law and order in the Republic of South Africa through PROSPER, as we have indicated. This is in accordance with the provisions of Section 201, subsection 2, subsection A of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, 1996. The request for the deployment of SANDF to protect and safeguard the power stations was submitted by ESCOM through NetJoints, Energy Priority Committee, and supported by SANDF, I mean, by SAPS as a request. And by the way, we co-chair that Energy Priority Committee as SANDF through Chief Joint Operations. Next slide, please. Next slide, Madam, please. Thank you very much. A complement of about 880 members of SANDF will be employed to support and assist SAPS in the protection and safeguarding of identified ESCOM power stations across the country. The employment will be for a period of 6 months, and it will take place over the period of 17 April to 17 October 2023. Next slide, please. Chair and the honorable members, this is the estimate expenditure that we, the department will incur over this period. It's 146 million rand. And if we break it down, is as follows. Compensation of employees is 68 million rands, and food and services is 78.6 million rands. In general, it also says 78.7 million rands, which take us to 146 million rands. The expenditure for this deployment is unfunded for this financial year, so it's not actually allocated. So we consider it as unforeseen and unavoidable because it's an instruction from our commander-in-chief and we've got to execute as such. Next slide, please. Chair and the honorable members, this is the end of the presentation. And if there are further maybe questions for clarity on what we have just presented, if you allow it, Chair, we would welcome that and we take it from there. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. This is an extension, colleagues. We have been briefed about this and we were told why it was the leadership, the president deemed it fit to deploy soldiers to ESCOM. We supported it at the time. I guess our support still stands. Any other comment, colleagues?
Chairperson, no. I think, you know, as you said, we are very much aware of that. Yes, you know, I think we are on record that it's actually not the Defence Force's job what they do. But, you know, we accept it. We just hope that it's not draining too much of the resources of Defence Force in terms of their core responsibilities. But hopefully, you know, they will either invoice the police or Department of Public Enterprises, you know, like services to other departments as well. So if that has been done, you know, and we can support our country to stabilize, you know, electricity, then you know, we've got the greatest of respect and appreciation for our soldiers who are put into a position of this nature. So we can only say thank you. God bless you all. Stay.
Thank you very much. Mr. Raja?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My comments relate to the funding component, and I do want to just remind everyone here that there was a comment from the Minister of Finance that the contingency reserve was in place and would be tapped into if there was substantial need. And I think that noting what the General has told us, you know, this is unfunded, and I do think that there should be a discussion between the Department and Treasury to make sure that there is suitable compensation. If it must come from the contingency reserve, then that's where it must come from. But yes, I don't believe that the financial burden should be placed at the feet of the Defence Force alone. I think there should be, you know, Treasury needs to come to the party as well. We all understand already that the Defence Force budget is insufficient for our needs as they stand already without placing additional burdens on. So I would encourage the department to have that discussion with Treasury. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, no, we will be having that discussion with Treasury very soon. I think before the end of this month to discuss the upfront allocation to the department, because they have to spend the allocation from the mere resources that they have, and only to be compensated much later in the year. Yet if they have some allocation in their account, they can be able to tap into it without disrupting the operating budget or the baseline of other programs or activities within the department. So we will be meeting with Treasury to discuss that, that such budget that for ad hoc missions is not there in the budget, and is you can't afford it without having to take money from other sources within the department. When you do that, it compromises or it impacts on those on the services or the units that you are actually diverting the money from. So we're in discussion, or we'll be in discussion with them. Thabo, you're next on the matter.
Thank you, Chair. One, we welcome this deployment and wish the Joint Ops well in this operation. two, Chair, as much as we are going to engage with National Treasury, I think for the purpose of ensuring that the Defence Force is not found wanting in terms of financial prudence, we need to do things differently. Maybe impress or sponsor a view that as and when the Commander-in-Chief employs the Defence Force to undertake any other mission or function that is not budgeted for, it must be accompanied by a letter to Treasury or an instruction to Treasury to also make funds available for that particular deployment. I think in that way it will make life of the Defence Force easier, so that at least we have a turnaround time as to when those resources will be made available to the Defence Force. And also, to a larger extent, the AG must be notified, because when the AG comes after some time, the AG is going to say, but this man was not budgeted for this particular purpose and you have used it for this, and then penalize them. Which I don't think going into the future is what we want, because the Defence Force will be always be found wanting out of these deployments that they have no option but to undertake, even when funds are not made available, but they have to source means within what is available to ensure that they hit to the call. But the consequences, they will have to bear the consequences alone. So I think it's something that we need to do differently, so that we relieve them of those pressures that they will have at the end to account when nobody else is there to vouch for them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Mutle. Dr. Velem, Jansen van Rensburg.
Chair, not to weigh in on the matter, just an administrative point, perhaps, especially for members of this committee that are not part of the portfolio committee. This matter was previously raised by the committee. And just to point out that there is an upcoming meeting with National Treasury between the Portfolio Committee on Defense and National Treasury on Wednesday at 10 o'clock. So it might be of value for NCOP members of this committee to join that meeting as well, and just to hear what National Treasury has to say, as this was identified as one of the specific topics to be discussed with National Treasury on Wednesday. I just wanted to make that clear. Thank you, Chair.
Yes. The meeting is next week, Willem.
That's correct, Chair, at 10 o'clock on Wednesday.
Yeah, that's a portfolio committee meeting with Treasury to discuss these issues. All right. Now, thank you very much, General, for your presentation. I'm sure we'll be happy to hear that we are available for deployment, that if you need some manpower, more boots, members of parliament are fully behind you, and they would drop anything to respond to the collab.
Thank you, Chair.
All right. DM, before we close on the issues with the Defence Force, or the DOD, I'm sorry, any matter to share with us or comment to make? We've just dealt with two issues. We appeared to be moving from the different angles, but with a common objective, the sustainment of the prime mission equipment to enhance the performance of the Defence Force. I think that was the objective that was very clear in the meeting.
DM. You are muted, DM.
Chair, thank you very much. And to the members of the Joint Standing Committee on Defense. Maybe if I may just start with the last item and go back to the earlier discussion to say that indeed the situation we find ourselves in does make sense that for every service we provide, we should seek where possible, reasonably possible, a reimbursement for the operational budget we would have utilized. Of course, it's a desperate, approach to addressing our needs. But as I've, honorable members, commented before, it is a very problematic arrangement. Very problematic arrangement because the money that we need to provide the services the Defense Force now and again is called upon to provide includes the preparation and the means that the force utilizes. When we are being reimbursed because we have deployed to improve the security around our power plants, that money does not assist us in preparing the soldiers. And I'm raising this because the increased demand by SAPS for support from the department, I mean, from the South African National Defense Force, means that we must have troops that are almost prepared for some of these domestic situations that now and again we get you know, involved in. I just thought I should make that point, that the pressure for the Department of Defense to get the requisite resources is very, very important. Going back to the earlier discussion, honorable members, I did take note that according to the program, this discussion was ideally requested or proposed to be led by the minister. When the minister is available, I would imagine she would still want to make comments on what we have just been discussing, but let me just indicate that indeed we have had, as the ministry, and I'm now talking the Council on Defense, we have had last week on the 5th of May an engagement with DINEL on their turnaround strategy, which speaks to the main concern of the committee, which is that the needs of the Defense Force as far as the maintenance of its prime mission equipment is not supported by the state of readiness of DINEL. The oversight a few weeks ago had DINEL presenting its turnaround strategy. And in that discussion, a whole host of things were picked up and the views were shared, including what the Oversight Committee got exposed to on its on-site visit to DINEL's enterprises. In our meeting on the 5th of May last week, one positive development is that the funding that the DINEL was expecting from Treasury, I think it's 3.2 or 3.4 billion, which they said was stalling their turnaround strategy. Apparently that money has now been released. They have received that money. I think it's a positive development because the liquidity of DINEL is important. However, even now with that money released, it only serves to keep the wolf at the gate.
the liquidation of Dinan. But the finances to support the production, for the production guarantees, let me put it that way, of the work that Dinel must do, it's money that they do not have. And they are still, you know, trying to see how they are going to mobilize that money. The other, of course, important question around the capability, or rather the ability of Dinel to support our defense force, is to do with the capabilities that Dinel's different enterprises are reported to have lost, the skills migration. And that part in their turnaround strategy is not, you know, sufficiently profiled. It's, I feel that was my observation. It was, it's been downplayed. I'm raising this because Honorable Marie Mare has made a statement to the effect that one of the entities of Dinel Dynamics, there's actually nobody left there. I'm just saying that it is that kind of information that we need to get from Dinel in a very accountable way, because in at this level, it is difficult to discuss, you know, hearsay. We've got to discuss what we are told officially by Dinel to be the state of affairs in the different enterprises under Dinel. The other important point I would want to raise, Chair, through you and to honorable members, is this, that Dinel is a parastatal. Dinel is a parastatal, but the question that I've been asking myself is, where is the subsidy to this parastatal coming from? Who transfers subsidy to Dinel if it is a parastatal, if it's a quasi-commercial entity? How is government subsidizing it? Dinel, in its origin, is a conglomeration of business entities, production entities that were under ARMSCO. 1992, they were cut off and released from the defense portfolio to be standalone business entities. Question is, how was the arrangement put in place for those entities to continue functioning? I'm making this observation because this issue about the costs, operating costs, appears to be a very, you know, it's a concerning matter. But it looks like the information that is being shared is not shared in a user-friendly way, because it could well be that indeed Dinel has always been subsidized in ways that were not transparent. Those entities, those enterprises that are under Dinel, they are parastatals because they've been subsidized by government, but not in a very direct way. But I'm making this observation under correction. But I'm trying to say the operating costs that we are complaining about, which gets deducted from the budgets that are transferred to Dinel for specific goods and services, it's something we need to go deeper into to understand the problem. The other point, of course, is that the performance of Dinel, honorable members, will always be difficult to have a full appreciation of it without the line of sight to the audit performance, audit information of Dinel. Now, unfortunately, we are not responsible for oversight in Dinel. It is the Department of Public Enterprises.
the audits of DNEL go to them. It is them who have visibility of whether monies are wasted there, monies are used in unauthorized ways, monies are used irregularly, and all of that kind of situation that would make any enterprise to be weak. So in discussing the fitness of DNEL for purposes of making sure that our prime equipment is always okay, we need the audits of how just that business entity called DNEL is functioning. There is, I think, an impediment for us to get a full picture of that. And let's also, of course, appreciate that the reason why DNEL is the original equipment manufacturer of the prime war systems that the South African Defense Force has, it is because these were systems which AMSCO developed on behalf of the South African National Defense Force as what the South African Defense Force needed, but could not go out to the outside markets because there was an arms embargo. So AMSCO had to develop this equipment, whether you're talking the long-range artillery pieces that you have, whether you're talking Rafale, you can go on and on. These were systems that were manufactured by the enterprises under DNEL through the money that was advanced by the state, because the state could not buy from the open markets. So it is something that we must understand, that the prime mission equipment of the South African Defense Force is with DNEL, the original equipment manufacturers. So when we look at the challenges we have, whether the Defense Force systems are properly maintained, what we have ordered is delivered, that background, I think, has always to be part of the discussion. Chair, I appreciate the insistence that there be more transparency in the way DNEL is functioning, but not only that, the capabilities, the state of affairs now to support the South African Defense Force war systems. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, DM. You well said. We will continue to monitor the situation. We even suggested at some point that for all the monies that we pay to DNEL, that come from the Defense Force to DNEL via AMSCO or any other agents, DNEL must be held to account on how they're actually spending the money. In other words, we are starting the process of the committee overseeing both DNEL and AMSCO with a view of, you know, facilitating the relocation of DNEL from where it is now to the Department of Defense. We think if it is oversighted by us, we are likely to get more better results that are favorable to the Defense Force than where it is at the moment. Where it is just a matter of money and cent. Yet when it is here, it's beyond that. It's actual production. Are we getting full value for the money that we've actually allocated to you? We are even able to go to where they're supposed to be delivering the services, to see for ourselves if indeed there's value for money. It's better if it is done by us, but of course we will do it in conjunction with our colleagues on the other side. We are not taking over their responsibility, but for the monies we are giving them, we'll hold them to account. It is in that context that
we request the department to make visible in their budget all the monies that we allocate to DINEL, precisely to enhance improve accountability and enhance the performance on their side. DM, you have hit it on the nail. I'm sure General Ramadwane and the acting SecDef will understand that we are not trying to be different or difficult, but we are in a way saying, but is this model the right model that will take us out of the situation that we find ourselves in? Why you're asking this situation is that since we came into office from 2017, we are going down and down and down. Very soon we'll be hitting the rock bottom. We are saying, no, we don't want to get there. Don't want to get there because indeed that's where we are going. And so please help us to make a turn. That's our appeal that we're making to the Chief of the Defence Force. Is an appeal we're making to the SecDef. The appeal that we're making to the ministry to say, please, just give this issue a bit more attention because very soon we'll have an Air Force that has no wings. We'll have an army that has no vehicles, combat vehicles, and then we'll have a navy that is not in the sea. So next week or some in a week or two, we'll be examining the state of the navy in the context of its how we were sustaining itself, and in order to ensure that the capability we have, if anything, it's maintained at the level it is. We don't want to see it going below where it is because we can't go below this. We are at a stage where we shouldn't go beyond it. Anything anything below this is a defense force that is completely liquidated. We have the defense force in name only. That's our concern. But I think we are getting there. There is cooperation. Treasury is putting more money, and they're willing to give us more money. And there is support from the leadership of the country. It's only if we can demonstrate that we are able to apply the resources that we have effectively and efficiently. That's the call that they're actually making to us. With that, I wish to thank you, DM, and the team, and they will then move to quickly deal with the two in-house matters. You can unmute, DM. You want to say something to say goodbye?
Chairperson and honorable members, thank you very much for entertaining us. Good evening.
Thank you very much. SecDef, Chief of Staff, thank you very much. And the team, thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, General. All right, colleagues, let's quickly deal with the next item. Just an update on the study tour before we quickly move to deal with the minutes.
Good evening, Chair and members. Just a quick update on the study tour and where we stand with the arrangements. I'm happy to announce that as of last night, we got the final signature to approve the study tour from the House Chairperson of the NCOP. So now the study tour has been approved by both the Speaker of the and the House Chair of the NCOP. So it has been, the political approval has been granted for the study tour, and it can therefore take place on the dates as we set out, from the 24th of June till the third arrival back here on the 4th of July. There's one change, internal change in the program. We were contacted by the South African Embassy in Turkey, and they told us that there is a public holiday, two public holidays declared on the days that we are seeking to be there. And for that reason, we have decided to shift the two visits around, and therefore first visit Germany and Turkey. So in terms of content, the actual study tour will stay the same. It's just that we will go to Germany first and then to Turkey, and we are busy with those internal arrangements. We've also informed both embassies, the South African Embassy in Germany and Turkey. They are now fully aware of this visit, and they will be in the process to assist us to set up the program while we're in those countries. In terms of our internal administrative arrangements, the next steps will be to apply for the financial approval. We're just waiting for the final new flight quotes, and then we can apply for the financial approval. And that will be our internal arrangements. In terms of for members of this committee, the next steps for you, where you will be involved, is the visa applications to go to Germany. Members might recall the message from Nandipa that we are aiming to do this as a group on the 26th of May. If there are any problems with this, please contact Nandipa directly, and we will be in touch for further arrangements. But please keep that that morning open for a visa application here in Cape Town. We will arrange. We will communicate all arrangements with you. Yeah, that's it, Chair. It's a happy day that we finally got all the approval, and it really has potential to be a great study tour for this committee. And in terms of the lessons that the committee can learn from these countries, it has significant.